Bloomington City Council members seem willing to put up more money to reverse at least some of the controversial changes at Connect Transit.
Allow Connect Transit to hold the mobility fare rate as they currently are.
That's Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Monday, June 24th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off in the city of Bloomington, which could soon be tipping its hand in how much it's willing to help Connect Transit's on-demand service for elderly riders and those with disabilities. More from GLT's Eric Stock.
The City Council will consider a resolution tonight that asks the transit agency's working group to consider if its proposed fare increases for its Connect Mobility riders are necessary and look for ways to offset the cost. City Manager Tim Gleason says the city is prepared to cover those fare hikes if there's no other way.
I've got a council that has a strong desire to potentially fund additional amount to allow Connect Transit to hold the mobility fare rate as they currently are.
That would cost about $30,000 a year for the city. Connect Transit officials addressed the council last week after council member Jeff Craybill proposed rejecting the Connect Transit budget over the proposed fare hikes and elimination of the Olive Route in Normal. Connect Transit has proposed compromise using Pink Route buses to pick up riders in the Orlando-Northbrook area in Normal, an area with a high concentration of low-income and limited mobility riders. The Transit Board will consider it at a meeting tomorrow. Gleason says for many in the council, they were hearing these concerns for the first time and feel it's vital the city be prepared to help.
There's varying opinions, but the one where I think that I'm on the firmest ground and it's captured in the resolution is the desire not to negatively impact the Orlando Place residents.
Gleason says the city would also be willing to set up a reserve fund for Connect Mobility doorstop service on snow days when city plows can't get to the roads in time.
It is not financially realistic that Public Works employees are going to shovel sidewalks to get people to the bus stops.
That would cost the city about $10,000 a year. The rate hikes to Connect Mobility are part of a series of fee increases that Connect Transit is implementing to balance its budget. I'm Eric Stock.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. Bloomington police are looking for the driver of a van that struck and killed a motorcyclist and then fled the scene on foot over the weekend just south of downtown. Closing arguments are set for today in the federal death penalty trial of a former U of I doctoral student charged with kidnapping and killing a 26-year-old visiting scholar from China. If jurors convict Brent Christensen, they must then decide whether he should be sentenced to die for beating Yingying Zhang to death. And a new statewide needle exchange program would be created under a measure awaiting Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature. It's designed to battle opioid use, which is on the rise in Illinois. The Illinois Department of Public Health would have to sanction these new community-based exchanges. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. GLT's News Magazine Sound Ideas comes your way at noon and 6 p.m. today. Today, you'll hear my interview with Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner and McLean County Court Services Director Cassie Taylor, the former and current chairs of the Juvenile Justice Council. They talk about their new working group on gun violence, the next area of focus for them after years of zeroing in on truancy and education, trauma, and job skills.
Through the conversations at one of our meetings, there was some discussion about the gun violence that was going on last year and how there were certainly, we saw an increased number in young people that were involved in those, but also individuals that were adults that were involved, but also probably had some history in that wasn't the first time they'd had some run-ins, and that they had also had some involvement when they were juveniles. And so we thought it seemed to be reasonable to put together another look at this and see if there was an opportunity to make some improvements there. And so what we did was we formed a work group. The work group has met one time since then, and we are looking at how we can identify some areas that we may pass forward, if you will, in the areas of intervention, prevention, and suppression, and as it relates to gun violence.
So who's part of the work group?
That would be myself, Chief Bleichner, Don Knapp, our state's attorney, Carla Barnes, the public defender, and at the time we had Camille Rodriguez, who was the director of public health, but she has now moved on to another position as county administrator. And so that work group will be putting together ideas or a proposal, if you will, to promote those action steps, and we'll introduce those to the full council at our next meeting.
And so I realize this proposal is probably still being shaped, very much so. But even in broad strokes, what are some possible action steps that could be part of it, even categories of action steps, just to help people kind of conceptualize what this could look like?
Well, I do know that in our work group, when we discussed it, the idea that perhaps we need to look at broader ideas than just gun violence, because that might be a smaller subset of the youth that we're dealing with. And so one of the ideas that we were presenting was that we need to look at violence as a whole for youth, and also include issues such as domestic violence in the home, violence to caregivers. And so I think that might be the direction, that when we look at those issues of prevention and intervention, that we just don't limit ourselves to one type of violence for youth, but also directed in several areas that need improvement.
And we also looked, is because when we previously had done our delinquency prevention plan, we had also reached out for some opportunities through our local partners, whether it be Illinois State or Illinois Wesleyan, in looking at some assistance with marketing and helping with that. And so there might be an opportunity there along the way to share a message, whether it's prevention of violence or whether it's something else we identify, or gun violence itself. There may be a way in which to do that. And so that's another area in which we're looking at that. Plus, we're trying to, as part of the Juvenile Justice Council, I mean, it's having a lot of people around the table that have different ideas and different thoughts and different outreach, if you will, and looking for their input in how we may do that as far as an education campaign is certainly going to be critical. So again, in broad strokes, those are some of the ideas. We don't want to certainly get ahead of the full council and what their thoughts are, but those are just some recommendations that we'll be bringing to them at the next meeting.
Hear more of this interview with Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner and McLean County Court Services Director Cassie Taylor from the Juvenile Justice Council later today at noon and 6 p.m. on GLT's Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, at 11 a.m. today, Mid-Central Community Action and other community groups will be celebrating the outcomes of the West Bloomington Housing Collaborative, including the Jefferson Street Community House. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast. They're also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.